Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Luke chapter 6 verse 40, titled, The Disciple is Not Above His Master. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. That's BBFOhio@protonmail.com. If you'd like to send a letter along with any check or money order contributions to support the ministry, send those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Luke chapter 6, verse 40. Titled, The Disciple is Not Above His Master. This is part one of two.
Current events update. Liberal Democrats, which is kind of redundant because almost all the Democrats are liberal, and race riots. The Democrat news media is trying to blame Trump. First, they falsely accuse him of being a racist. And anybody who says Donald Trump's a racist is a liar. That includes any of you watching. Donald Trump is not a racist. That's just something stupid people say when they don't have anything else to say. They'll call you a racist. And so that's false. But Greg Gutfeld is a fellow on Fox. We don't watch much, John Hartman sent me this. Some of you remember John was with us a week ago. Huh?
The guy who changed
us last week. Yeah, that guy. He sent me this, and Greg Gutfeld said, what a joke. So who was in charge when this man, George Floyd, was murdered? A Democrat mayor, a Democrat prosecutor, a Democratic attorney general, a Democratic union, a Democratic governor. The only person who acted quickly to bring justice was a Republican president.
Amen.
Now, I don't even give Republicans credit. I give Donald Trump credit.
Amen.
And we're not party politics around here. We just stand with people who stand with the Constitution in line with Romans 13, 1 to 6. But this was the scene, and we've been saying for years, back to the Bible, or back to the jungle. And as a couple people are talking about stuff, they're showing this live feed. And all over the place when you see these riots, I mean, it really does. And I'm not saying this racial. In some cities, it was mostly white people rioting, protesting. Now, the protesters have every right to do that, protest. But the people who are burning things and busting out windows and all that, they're the ones who should be locked up. But what you're seeing is America is going back to the jungle. And we said it for years, you either get back to the Bible or you go back to the jungle. That's just an example. Let me show it to you again. It's just, see if I can get it to go back. I'm helping you discern what's going on in America.
Amen.
And if you watch, that is the jungle. Go to the jungle, that's how they act. All the looting, the rioting, the burning stuff, the tribal dancing, every bit of it. If you go back to the jungle, go check it out, you'll find that that's what this looks like. And it's not too hard to see. You get away from the Bible, you go back, you either go back to the Bible or back to the jungle.
Driving around Scranton yesterday, we saw, rainbow signs, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, they all go together.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. You'll see the sodomite rainbow flag. You'll see the Black Lives Matter, and you also see that they're pro-choice, as they say, pro-abortion. They all go hand in hand. Yeah, pagans. But if you go look at the race riots. What is Baltimore? Who runs the city of Baltimore?
No.
Democrats, liberal Democrats.
Yeah.
You look at all the race riots and all these riots where they're burning stuff. It's every time it's liberal Democrats. And if it wouldn't be surprised though if it was a rhino Republican, they're saying. That's why I don't give credit to the Republican Party. And there's a lot of preachers so scared to death that some nominal Christian sitting in the pew in their church who supports Democrats is going to get mad and take their money with them. I don't care if you want to be a part of the Democrat Party or not, but I'm going to talk honest with you. We're not going to lie. I don't want to hear garbage coming out of your mouth, and you're not going to hear garbage coming out of my mouth. I'm telling you the honest truth. There's no way a Bible-believing Christian who's truly saved can support the Democrat Party because they, in their platform, are for killing babies, sodomite marriage, and socialism.
Amen.
I get sick of the mealy-mouthed Christians, cowards, who won't confront these socialist Democrats. They're a disgrace to this country. They're traitors.
Amen.
And then you take rhino Republicans. You take progressive Republicans. They are just the same. The rhino Republicans, progressive Republicans are the same. Just get that through your head. The Bush family is the same. So I want to move on, though, to this issue of publisher or platform. How many of you heard that President Trump signed an executive order? About the social media, and there's all kinds of disinformation, and a lot of it's coming from people who call themselves conservatives. I tell you, folks, a lot of the conservatives are as stupid as the liberals. You have to, don't trust anybody. You better check out what they're saying and find out whether it's true or not. And a lot of the conservatives are out there saying, well, they're private companies. The government shouldn't interfere with that. Hogwash. The government interferes with everything. And these people claim to be, platforms. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter claim to be platforms. They're liars. They edit. They edited me for years. They banned me because they didn't like what I was saying. They would take down my post because I was against the gay marriage disgusting filth. I was against killing unborn babies and call it abortion. I was against men calling themselves women. I was against men calling themselves women and then beating up on women in sports. And Facebook banned me for that. They're not platforms. They're publishers. And they edit the information on their websites. So if you run around telling them, well, they're private companies, they should. We have laws about publishers. And if you're a publisher, you're subject to those laws. Now, here's the headlines were pretty fair for the most part. Trump signs executive order to narrow protections from social media platforms. That's a half-truth, so it's not a good headline. Stung by Twitter, Trump signs executive order to weaken social media companies. See, that's a libtard. That's a liar.
What?
He's lying. Whoever wrote that, that's NPR, whoever wrote that is a liar. He did not sign an executive order to weaken social media companies unless you're a liberal and you think it's weakening social media companies by taking away their ability to silence non-liberals. They silence conservatives. They silence libertarians. They silence conservative Democrats, which there are still a few left. Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook are breaking the law. They claim to be platforms, but they function editorially and choose what message they will what? They are publishers. They are publishers. I've got to say it over and over. Get that through. This executive order is dealing with the fact. I'll ask you this. What would happen to us, BBF? We're as a nonprofit, and we're claiming to be non-taxable in our status. I'm not talking about 501c3 and a lot of... You know, I'm going to tell you, people make way too much of that. We're not 501c3, but it's not what a lot of people claim. I don't get into that all right now. according to our laws and the IRS, all churches are tax exempt. Period. Doesn't matter whether they're 501c3 or not. Now, what if, which this happens, especially in the cults, I had you all come out for 2 hours every night, Monday through Friday, and had you working and putting together and making t-shirts and bumper stickers and printing things, and you know, and then it's all volunteer, you know, and you got, oh, thanks, praise the Lord, serving the Lord, love you, bye, and then I go sell it and make money off of it. That would be wrong, right? Because I'd be functioning as a business. I wouldn't be paying taxes, and I wouldn't be paying my employees.
Yeah.
So it's all wrong.
Amen.
Even though it's a church that's functioning like a business, right? That's exactly what they're doing in the social media companies. They are claiming to be a platform in order to get perks and tax breaks and protections. But they are functioning as a publisher. And the law says the fact that they're calling themselves platforms doesn't matter. They are functioning as a publisher. They're already in violation of the law. And so what should happen is that the federal government should investigate these social media platforms, as they call themselves, and they should charge them for already breaking the law.
The government's no better than them.
Well, that's another issue, but that. But focus. He's also banning Fed agencies from spending money for ads. There's nothing in the law that says the federal government has to spend money on a social media platform for ads. And yet you're getting lied to by these fake journalists in the news media who are telling you that there's something wrong with that. There's not anything wrong with that. And so on and on it goes. One last thing here. This is from the Telegraph. The headline says, Trump wants social media to be treated like traditional publishers. Here's what that means. Quote, not only is he dangling the threat of Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube's privileges as platforms rather than publishers, he is also threatening to ban government agencies from spending on advertising on the services if they are found to have limited free speech. End quote. They're presenting that as though there's something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. And what he's doing is right. And so pray that that succeeds, because most of the people that Facebook especially, but even YouTube and Twitter, they're coming after mostly Christians.
Yeah.
Because they're sodomites. And they serve the LGBTQ plus agenda, which is antichrist.
Amen.
The Bible says it's wickedness. But if you preach and teach that on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, they threaten you and ban you and take your, they threaten you, take the post down, and then eventually ban you. And I know good and well the only reason we haven't been banned is because we're small fries compared to a lot of the, you know, they have millions of channels. The day's coming. That's why we're on BitChute, and we're looking for other, we're uploading all our videos to Sermon Audio, and we're taking action now, because these people are running a con game. They're fake platforms. They're not real. They're publishers, and they're eventually going to come for us. Yeah. You know, we're going to stay the course. We're going to hold our ground. We're going to do what we can. If we get punished for it, so be it. But we're going to do this until the rapture, or I die, and then it'll be left up the rest of you to do what you
carry on.
Amen. Luke 6, verse 40, the disciple is not above his master. And the context is Jesus has just chosen the 12 apostles, and is preaching a sermon on the plain. Because it's important that you understand it, because there's people who claim this is the same as the Sermon on the Mount, and then they pick it apart and say, oh, there's different things about it. Well, yeah, it's not the same event. He's not on a mount. He's on a plain. And I don't mean he's flying. But Luke 6, verse 40. And we're just going to read that one verse to start. Read it with me. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. God's people say amen. Now, some have asked us for a review of those 12 I just mentioned. So we'll just take a couple minutes to review that. You really ought to get to know these guys, because all but one of them are going to be in heaven. And be nice if you already know who they are before you get there. Of course, most Christians know a few of them, starting with Peter. He was never a pope, by the way. And he was married. But he was known as Simon and also Cephas. So when you're reading your Bible, there's more than one Simon. I think it's like seven Simons. And then Peter, and then Cephas is another name. And Peter is the Greek name. Simon is from Simeon, and it's the Hebrew name he was given. And then Cephas was more of the Aramaic nickname, they believe. And Cephas or Cephas, you want to say it right, Cephas. But or at least that's what we're told. That's how it's said. You know, I was talking to Jenny about these rules of grammar and pronunciation. They're very relativistic. We'll talk about that another time. But Andrew actually brought Peter to the Lord, and that's Peter's brother, Andrew. That's my middle name. And we don't know much about Andrew, but the story is that he was martyred and he was crucified, outstretched, this thing they call Andrew's Cross, St. Andrew's Cross. Peter, they say, was crucified upside down. And then, you just say something?
I thought your middle name was Simon.
That's my third name. See, I'm glad you said that because I was going to actually miss that. You know, Peter, Simon, Cephas, I'm known mostly as Greg. When I was in trouble, it was Gregory. You know, I'm just kidding. But Gregory Andrew Miller. But there were a couple times I worked places where there were a bunch of Gregs, like there are Johns around here. So I went by Andy. And then you go to Southern Ohio, where I grew up, and you talk about Greg Miller. A lot of people don't know who you're talking about, but you ask them about Fudge. That's who they know me as. Huh? Yeah, and then the private little nickname is Paco from Jenny. She, one day, she says, "All right, Bucko." And I thought she said Paco. I said, "Paco? What's Paco mean?" She said, "I said Bucko." From then on, it was Paco. So, Peter, Andrew, and then there's a couple of James. So, you know, you have to keep these. I want to say this. James is also called the elder. This James is. There's another one called James the Less. This is James the Elder, son of Zebedee and brother of John the Apostle. See? Now, people say, "Oh, the Bible's so hard and there's people with the same names." I've heard that from computer developers who are learning computer languages. And they're telling me that the Bible's too hard to understand. And then some of those same people and other people, they can tell you everything about Star Wars characters. 150 different names they've learned. The Tolkien's followers of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. There's people out there who tell me the Bible's too hard to understand. And they know all these different names. Fake countries with fake cities and fake kings and fake queens. And all these, and they know them all. But the Bible's too hard. I just can't understand. I mean, it's just... Yeah, World of Warcraft and Dungeons and Dragons and all these things. These guys have learned all these names and everything. And then they're, "Oh, the Bible, too hard." And they could come here and get free instruction, and they don't. Yeah, Johnny?
I just figured out that's yet another evidence that shows you how true the Bible is. Because I'm pretty sure in almost every one of those franchises you mentioned, they'll make it to where pretty much every character is a different name.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was written by men.
Yes.
And it's easier that way.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible does something that we see happens in real life all the time.
Like,
a bunch of people with the same name.
Like if you're talking about the English and you refer to King George, figure that one out. So, John, as I said, is the brother of James and the son of Zebedee. And an interesting fact about James and John is that they were not only brothers and sons of Zebedee, but they were nicknamed by Jesus. Wouldn't that be great to have a nickname given to you by Jesus? That'll stick. You know, people get nicknames like, "Oh, don't call me that." Well, if Jesus' nickname, it's for 2,000 years, it's stuck. Sons of Thunder. That's a cool nickname now. He could have called them Peaches and Cream. How would you like for that to stick? Jesus calls us the Sons of Thunder. Yeah, we're getting t-shirts made. Then there's Philip And he is said to be a Bethsaida. I think I put an extra E in there. Bethsaida, Bethsaida. You say tomato, I do tomato. Peter and Andrew's from that same hometown. Isn't that neat? And then number six is Bartholomew. And Jenny's reading Herbert Lockyer's book to me, All the Apostles of the Bible. She's enjoying every minute of it. And it's got some good stuff in it, but he kind of embellishes and things. But one of the things he pointed out that I hadn't really even thought about, Bartholomew and Nathaniel are the same person. And how do we know that? Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Philip and Bartholomew hang out all the time. Then you go into John and it's Philip and Nathaniel. See? That's how Columbo figured it out. Deduction. Number seven, Levi. That's his Hebrew name. Levi. And he's also a son of an Alphaeus. Now, people get confused, so I'm going to come back to that in a second. How many of you heard of Thomas? Johnny was mentioning him a little while ago. He's known as the doubter. And I said it when we went through Mark. I'll say it again right now. Thomas gets a bad rap. Thomas was just a good Jew. Jews require a sign. They said Jesus was resurrected, and he said, I got to see it before I'm going to believe it. But as John said, Jesus said, well, touch the wound of my side. And Thomas is like, ah, I'm good. You're the man. Capital M. But he's also that Thomas, the Greek is Didymus for twin. So we believe he had a twin brother, more than likely. And James, this is the other one. See? That's how it's easier to learn the names of the apostles, because you've got two James and two Judases. So you go James, James, Judas, Judas. You already got four done. See? But one of them's called the Less. Son of an Alphaeus. There's a reason I'm saying that. An Alphaeus. And he was Jesus' cousin. Now, would that be cool? Be the cousin of Jesus? Well, they believed Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. Well, they were. So if that's true, then, you know, Jesus, James, and John the Baptist probably had some family reunions together. You know, ate some fried chicken. You know. Number 10, Simon Zelotes, which is for zealot. And he was also called Simon the Canaanite. And it's not because he was a Canaanite. It's because there's a Jewish sect that had the same name as Canaan, I think is how they pronounced it in the Greek language. But it was translated over as Canaan. And so he was a Jew. He wasn't a Canaanite by DNA. But he was a part of the Jewish sect, and they were known as zealots. That's why he's called Simon Zelotes, because Peter's also called Simon. So to differentiate them, he's called Simon Zelotes. See how it works? Number 11 is a Judas, but it's not the betrayer. He's the brother of James the Less, son of an Alphaeus, the same as James, and also known as Lebius or Thaddeus. So he goes by three names. There's James, Lebius, Thaddeus. He's not the betrayer. And so that leaves us, we're going to mention this before we go to the last one. Sons of Alphaeus. Matthew, James the Less, and this other Judas are sons of an Alphaeus. But only James and John, only Matthew, let me see. I think it's James and Judas. Is that what I said, or is Matthew? Go back. I'm confusing myself on this now. Yeah. He's brother James. So Judas and James were of one Alphaeus. Matthew was of another Alphaeus. My dad's name is Robert. There are other Gregs out there who have a dad named Robert. And there's Greg Millers, there's a ton of us, who have a dad named Robert Miller. And I get into the name thing, but I've experienced some hang-ups, issues with that. So the last one, we always save the worst for last. Judas Iscariot, the betrayer. He's also called the son of perdition and a devil. So there's your review of those 12, the 12. And it's going to help you read and understand your Bible if you get that straight. You learn these names. It helps. So Jesus begins to differentiate between his followers and the Jews who reject him. Now, these are all Jews. The first believers, the 12 apostles, all of them Jews.
Amen.
And the early believers and the proselytes and the converts at Pentecost, all Jews. And so that's where it all started. And so look again there, verse 40. The first phrase says, the disciple is not above his master. And that's, even in human terms, that's usually the case. It isn't often that the disciple exceeds the knowledge, skill, or ability, or accomplishments of the master. And he says, Jesus says this about his own, the disciple is not above his master. Anytime a Christian starts getting too full of themselves, there's trouble. And a lot of preachers, that's why we call ourselves Bible Believers Fellowship.
Amen.
And it's all about the Bible and all about Jesus. It's not about the preacher. It's not even about the ministry itself.
Amen.
It's about the Bible and Jesus.
Amen.
And we're going to keep it that way. The Jesus follower should be humbled by this truth. You should be reminded that people don't like to be told this, but you need to be put in your place.
Amen.
A lot of Christians forget their place. And sadly, a lot of preachers practically put themselves in the Godhead. Or they usurp the place of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things they'll do is they just start telling everybody what's right and wrong on everything.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't do that. If the Bible says something in black and white, it's right or wrong, we do. But if there's an area that the Bible doesn't say specifically, that's because God wants you to be led by His Spirit.
Amen.
Not the pastor, but by the third person of the Trinity.
Amen.
And we learned in Sunday school, how you led by the Spirit? Somebody say it. Were you awake this morning?
No. His words.
His words. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, you have to be full of His Word, because these words that I speak, they are Spirit and they are life.
Amen.
We're talking to Christians. I already made that. Yeah. You have to be saved, obviously. But I'm talking about Christians. In order for a Christian to remain humble is to be full of His Spirit. And the only way to be filled with His Spirit is to be filled with His Word. Let's look at a couple of examples in Scripture, by the way. Remember the fellow named John the Baptist. I just referred to him as Jesus' cousin. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 26. John 3:26. I'll start reading while you turn there. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. And John answered and said, well, you know what? I'm not putting up with that. You need to follow me. I was here first. That's how a lot of Christians treat the ministry.
Yep.
Read verse 27 with me. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. I don't care what it is. Even your ability to think. Your ability to... I actually read one of her books. But she is outspoken in her faith in Christ, outspoken against abortion, outspoken in support of biblical marriage, outspoken as a conservative. And she's a very attractive young lady. And she's smart, and she's talented, and she's mocked. And you go out on the internet and see any of the reviews and things for her movies, and the Christians will say, oh, we love this. And then the unsaved people, in a large way, and maybe not everyone, but a lot of them, just mock her, make fun of her. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's an example of what happened when she was on the go. You can watch that on YouTube when she was on The View and the way they treated her when she spoke up. That's just a very public example.